First thing that I want to just get off my chest and say is that I've been looking forward to this more than I have my meals at the end of the day. To be able to just to have an opportunity to stand and give what God would put on my heart means more to me than what I eat. I don't know if that bears any meaning to you, but just like you have satisfaction when you put something in your mouth and it fulfills a hunger in you, there's a hunger in me to want to stand and to give something encouraging and uplifting to those around me. There's a part of me that I love in me. I've learned lately that if I don't have love, and if we don't have love in the body of Christ, that everything that we do will profit it for nothing. And I am up here for love. I'm up here in love and in tears and in prayer, and because I want us all to grow. With all that said, if you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the 6th chapter of John. And as always, I'm excited about what God's put in my heart. A little more excited than usual, if you can actually believe that. Simply because this is one of those words that not only that God gave to me that I felt like was the right now word for the people, but it was one that spoke to me and it brought tears to my eyes, and it was hard for me to read the pages as I began to read them. You ever have a word from God like that? Where you begin to read it and it speaks to you in such a way that it's just what you need, and all the things that you were searching for doesn't even matter anymore. And you realize that the very words that God would speak to you is right in front of you. And that all that we have to do is listen for His voice. We begin in this way, and we have everybody with us to lead us and kind of guide us in the way that we should go. And we have the ministers and to be able to stand and to give us the Word of God. But when it comes right down to it, when I need that guidance in my life, it is that voice that I have to listen to. It is that still small voice that lets me know that He loves me. It's the still small voice that reminds me that it's worth going on. It's the still small voice that lets me know that life's not over yet. That though the trials may be heavy sometimes, that life's still worth living, and that there is still joy in the midst of tribulation. Are you with me tonight? Hallelujah. In the 6th chapter of John, in the 61st verse, Jesus began to speak. When Jesus knew in Himself that His disciples murmured at it, He said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where He was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." I can lead myself and all the things in the world of my mind and think that I know right, Brent. And I can think about all the logics that makes sense, Mike, and have people try to point me in the right direction. But the only thing that's life to me when everything else crumbles, the only thing that will stand when everything else fails, is the Spirit of God. It is the only thing that is life that dwells within you. And the only way that we will live is through and by the Spirit of God. I cannot breathe in my spiritual man without the Spirit of God. I can stand, I can sing, I can worship, but without the Spirit in me, there is no life in me. Without that anointing living deep in my soul, I can stand, I can do all the things by the standards of tradition, and it means not a thing. If I don't have the Spirit of God, the Spirit reminds me to walk through perfectly. It reminds me to be able to love my neighbor as myself. It reminds me to look past all the faults and failures. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. It's the Spirit that will compel them. It's that
example in you. And without that life in you, you are not leading them. Without the Spirit in you, you are not leading them. Without the Spirit in the church, we are not drawing them. Without the life inside of us, we are not the example that God had intended us to be. As it reads on, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? And that's the question I want to open up with tonight. The flesh profiteth nothing, and yet in the world, they think it does. They will persuade you that your dollar, if you make enough of it, will bring you out of every trouble that you have. That if you have a lot of nerve problems, that every pill in the world will raise you out of all the nervousness that you have inside of you. That if you have conflicts with people, that every therapist in the world will take care of those problems. Come on now, somebody get with me. That if we be quiet long enough, that the government will take care of business. That if we be quiet, that school will take care of teaching our children all the things they should know. Come on now, somebody. Spirit is life, right? Spirit is life in me. You know what happens when I'm alive? I'm moving. You know what happens when I'm alive? Every day I'm speaking. I don't go all day long without saying a word. If I'm happy about something, somebody's going to know what it is that I'm happy about. If there's something in me that happened in my life that brings me joy, if I found $100 on the ground, that would certainly make me want to go and tell somebody how wonderful that it was that I had an increase in my finances. It would be wonderful to me to find that something unlikely happened in my life. And don't you know that God has performed so many miracles that we could not even count on our hands and fingers and toes here in this place, and yet that we grow silent and think that God does not deserve the glory from the words of our testimony. The Spirit is life, and He said that we were made overcomers not only by the blood of the Lamb that's inside, but the words of our testimony, the life that is in you. How can it be life unto others lest we speak it to somebody? It can't just stay inside of you. You got to tell somebody how blessed that you are. If God's good to you, wouldn't you want to come in and give Him praise? I would hope so. Just because I'm alive does not mean that I always feel wonderful either. And in the reference that we're reading, a lot of them probably turned away because the standard that was raised by what they were to live by seemed like it was too high for us to meet. But that mark, I'm here to tell us, that mark is not too high. If we get up and just begin to set our mind upon God, you begin and rise up in the morning and begin to pray to God, and you set your mind upon God, and you make it a goal to not slip, and you begin, as every situation comes before you, to put God first. I know this is going out to more than just one. I know the Holy Ghost is showing me this. Seek ye first means put God first in every aspect of your life. That means in decisions. That means in situations. That means just sitting around in my lonesome too. He doesn't want us getting carried around in our thoughts so that we can be swayed to and fro. He wants us to be focused. He wants us to be driven when we're sitting around with no life in us. Don't you know that as a body begins to be dead, that it begins to rot, it begins to decay, it begins to not take on the life that it once had, and it's not in the form that it once was. And if we stay in the shape without any Spirit of God in us, we'll begin to rot. We'll begin to not have the life that we once had. And if we think that we can obtain the anointing at the beginning of the month and not get a hold of it for an entire month, don't think that your body that has the anointing in you is going to be the same shape a month later.
Stir up the gifts and callings that's within you. That means we got to call out to God every single day. We can't turn away. Are we going away?
Most of the church is today. That's what was on my mind and heart. Every church that we go to anymore is deserted. Everybody's turning away. The standard's too high. They don't want to live by those standards. It's easier to live the lifestyle that's set outside these doors. It's easier to not follow these guidelines that's been set by the Scriptures and the Word of God. Is that what we're listening to? Is that what we live by? We can't serve two masters. We can't have our ears tuned into both stations. And we can't sit around on the fence either. The Word of God says that He'd rather have us hot or cold. If you're going to come in and kind of be mixed up about whether you will or whether you won't, I would will that you would sit at home until you made your mind up. And that you'd come in ready to serve God. And I mean that for everybody. I'd hope that the church gets in a place when we come in that we are all ready to go. That we're all prepared to do our part. That there's no persuading. That I don't have to bribe you into obeying the Lord. You see, God's been too good to me for me to have to be bribed into doing anything. He kept me all week. I have the peace in my heart. I have joy beyond all that I even understand. That's all that I know. That's all that I have. Sometimes I have nothing. But if I have God, that's more than enough. If I have is His Spirit, that's more than enough. It's not always going to feel like the victory. And you might be walking in defeat sometimes. Yeah, I'm a realist. I know about reality. And sometimes it feels like you're walking in utter defeat. But that does not mean that victory will not return to you. You see, within our vision, we cannot see the plan of God. His ways are above our ways. His plans can't even begin to enter our mind at times. And sometimes the ways that God has moved for me, I couldn't even begin to consider how it was that God put it together. Have you ever thought about how many times that it just happened to work out that you got somewhere and you got the very blessing that you needed? And it was the night that you got all the joy and it was just enough for you to be able to endure till the next one. I've been thinking, and I'm not going to discard my blessings. I'm going to remember all the things that God has done. And it is enough for me to be able to draw from when I feel empty, Mike, inside. I'm not ever going to feel empty because I remember all the times that God has brought me out. The words of my testimony are not just for you, you see. The words of my testimony are for me also, to lift me up also. Sometimes the very thought that God made me free from drugs has been that there ain't thing that's got me in the door when I didn't feel like that service was going to be what I needed that night. But it got me in the door. And I don't know what it's going to be for you to keep you motivated. But I do know that you have plenty of things to look upon inside of you. Satan has stalled the praise of the church. I remember a time in my life when you could hear the shouts of the saints of God. Do you remember? Do you remember? I remember, Danny, that they'd be so overfilled with joy that their hands began to go up and they did not care who was around them. They did not care what I thought or anybody else in that room. Because they were trusting in God for what they needed. And it did not matter what you thought about what they needed. And they were believing in more than what they could see. And God was moving for them. And even what they could not see, God was still moving. And they were shouting for the things that they did not even see. We want to shout for all the benefits that God proves to us. But sometimes you're going to have to get up and shout for the things yet to come. I feel that as we just begin to bring back the praises that the enemy's tried to take from us. You just have no idea what worship can do for your life. Because prayer has its place, and I know that absolutely key part of your life. The Word of God, absolute place in your life, very important. But worship and that praise and that shout in your heart and rising up, just being bold.
Come on, let's do a demonstration. Just rise up with me real quick. You'll be able to sit right back down. Just being able to rise up and not care what anybody thinks. Being able to praise out to God and not caring what Jared has to say about it, because I know that God is going to take care of me and mine. I know that God's going to bless you too. He's more than able to take care of everybody. You can be seated if you want to. It's up to you. Hallelujah. Did you feel how easy that was? You're right there, and you just begin to think upon how good that God is, and somebody's just offering themselves in the worship before God, and there you are. It's just already that one step. God put it in my spirit. It's just that little first step that you take, and God can begin to move in you. It's not always going to be running six laps around the building. It might just be standing up and lifting a hand. Some of the biggest blessings I ever received from people was just little old ladies just barely getting their hand up, because I knew that their faith was just as big as the mountains that I drove by. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. I feel such a spirit of God. I can't help myself. It's just about getting your heart and a mind in a place where people do not matter. The flesh profiteth nothing. What else is that saying? When it comes down to it, the spirit is the part that's life to me. Man is not going to profit me nothing. So if I'm going to let man keep me reserved in my seat and not do nothing because they like it a little quiet in there, I might as well relocate where there's a little freedom. Can I get an amen to somebody? We better get somewhere where we got the spirit. We better let it flow. Woo! If you're not free to just rise up and move in the Spirit, better be checking and saying, where's the chains at? Why am I bound tonight? What is it in me, God? Let's read on. Luke chapter 22, verse 27. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Continue is the word I wanted to bring out there. It's not something that we go on for 3 months and feel like that it's all right to take a break, let everybody else obey the Lord, and go into a mini retirement until God absolutely shocks us off our seat with a trial so big we cannot handle. I would rather be stable. I would rather just continually move for Him. It might feel like it's boring sometimes, but if you are seeking God deeper and deeper, it gets better and better. If it feels bland, go and seek God a little deeper. Amen. That's why it's like feels like digging ground when we're breaking ground in the Spirit, when we're down in prayer and it just feels like you're just hitting the wall. You got to press on a little further. That's the only way I know how to explain it to you. There's been some times I'm praying and I've said to myself well, anybody else that would have prayed this prayer would have already felt satisfied by now. Let's be real about it for a minute. Anybody else that would have sat here and prayed for 25 minutes would have felt satisfied by this. Lord, I'm tired.
Amen.
But it's finally when you surrender. It's finally when you get over yourself and you lay yourself down. And God can finally descend in the room. And sometimes when that moment comes, Mike, I can barely get 2 to 3 words out. I felt like that God had took me from plateau to plateau. Just because I finally said in my heart, Lord, whatever you want to do. God, I'll lay everything, anything. God, I'll sweep the floors. Lord, I'll be a mute. God, I'll be a mime. Lord, I'll do anything. I'll lay down music. God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. As long as I can feel your spirit. I'm not even kidding you. If God told me to not play another note, I would put it down. Because I would rather feel his anointing and his spirit. For that is life. If you hear a nice beat and a nice tune, and it doesn't draw you or feed you spiritually, you might as well turn it off. If you're reading something and it's not feeding you spiritually, it's not life to you. You better put it down. This temple is life. This temple is supposed to be a host to what? What are we hosting? Or what are we trying? Let's think about this. What are we trying to host here in this building?
When we come together as a body of Christ, we're trying to usher in the Spirit of God in one mind and one accord. And when we feel His presence is when we finally come together and surrender ourselves. When we finally get all the junk out the door and it becomes a clean, contrite offering to God. It truly becomes an offering that God is pleased with.
Amen.
That's something that is holy and acceptable, Joe. And in me, if I've got stuff in here that's not, it's not going to make it. There's only one way. We won't even know the will of the Father unless it's through the Spirit.
Amen.
We try to figure everything out all the time. We need to be led by His Spirit.
Amen.
Is it me, Lord, that needs to preach? Is it then, Lord?
Yeah.
If we're really in the Spirit,
yeah.
If we're digging in the Spirit, you'll know.
Amen.
Lord, I don't know what message to preach. God, I don't know what it is I need to bring. If you dig in the Spirit, God will give you a thought. It doesn't have to be 45 minutes. Sometimes it can be just 5 minutes or two sentences. But that's yours. That's your part. That's what you have to give. And I cannot give it for you. That brings life to you. And you know what else that hangs off of you when you do that? You begin to bear fruit. You begin to bear things that others can draw from. But a lot of times, and I know I'm going to get stepped all over for this. That's all right. I'm a little stronger than I used to be. A lot of times, our fruit looks real nice on the outside, real shiny and pretty, but on the inside, there's so many worms in it. So much rotten corruption in it. We put on a pretty face like we love everybody that comes in. And then when people come in and they take a bite of what we've got, they really see the true colors. And they can't get any help that way. We have to have it inside and out. The front that I put on is all real great and grand. And yeah, you might feel like I love you, but something in me that has life in me. Oh, I feel this right now. Something in me has to come forth so that if I never said a word, if you didn't even know my name, you knew that I loved you. You knew that God's Spirit was connecting. Hallelujah. I got one more. Matthew chapter 4, if you're following along. And He saith unto them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's what it's all about. When we're focused, and we have ourselves in order, our ducks in a row, like the cliche, when we finally line up to God's Word, and don't turn away, and just keep pressing on, you will finally be somebody that people will be drawn by. When they come into your presence, they know they can depend on you.
Yes.
That not that you're a God, but that there's a God in you.
Yes. Amen.
That there's something in you that compels them. And they're thinking, Lord, how do they endure this day that we live in? God, how, after all they've been through, do they still stand with a smile? Do we smile anymore? Let me see everybody smile. Do we still have joy in our life? If we don't, then we're not obtaining the joy of the Lord. It is your strength. Go bodybuild all you want to. You'll just have muscles. Read the Word of God and find your strength. Find what will keep you. Find what will lift you up when everybody else is not available. When everybody else can't be around, Joe. When it seems like everybody else is too busy, don't have time, and don't care. God's right there. Hallelujah. When everybody else is too busy, God's right there.
Amen.
He'll lift you up.
Amen.
Let me read this last part. This is my favorite one. I always do this. I love this one. Matthew chapter 5, just on down a chapter. Blessed are they, words of Christ. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Somebody there with me right now. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We got to quit hiding. We got to quit running. Got to quit acting like that we don't have something to do. We got to quit being afraid. Got to quit acting like we're defeated. And we have to stop listening to what Satan is trying to trick us into, a life of disobedience. I'm telling you, church, you're special. I'm telling you that you have an amazing calling on your life. And if you begin to just call out on God in a greater way, you will see more joy in your life. You will begin to unlock a greater anointing, and the victory cannot be held back in front of you. You will begin to walk in a deeper walk with Christ, and you will not be denied. I'm telling you, blessed are we that will endure. Blessed are we that will stand. Blessed are they that will be persecuted for his name's sake. Not those that turn around and fight back. Not those that turn around and fire back at him as the world would raise us to fight fire with fire. Love, remember? Like we said at the very beginning. I know I sound like it's too hard, but like I said, the question at the very start, will you go away? Are we turning around and walking out? Are we giving up, Faye? Is anybody giving up tonight?
No.
No. That's what I want to hear. We can't give up now. The next one that we come in here might be the night where they come, and we got to be ready. We just take advantage of the fact that we come in and it's just a few of us that we know is the same ones that always come in. But when we finally get in the shape that God knows that we're ready, He'll send them. It's just like that. When God sees us in a state where we're prepared to receive those that are in need, He'll send them.
Amen.
We just have to be in a place where we're ready. I'm wrapping up, but I want to close with this. The one thing that I've been working on in my life is not giving ear nor mind to anything that Satan would speak to me, Mike. Not a thing. First thing that comes in, not going to hear it. Jared, you've sat back for too long. I'm getting to the good stuff now. Don't get mad at me. Jared, you've sat back for too long. It's been too long. Don't even try. I'm not hearing that. You shouldn't either. Jared, it's been too many months since you've shouted, since you've sung, since you've got up there and tried to do anything. You're not worthy. You're not fit to do anything. I'm not hearing it. I know what God placed in me. And I claim it every day. And I know where God placed me. And I claim it too. I will not give ear anymore to any to that junk. They'll never be saved. I'm not hearing it anymore. They'll never be delivered. I'm not hearing that, Linda. Woo! I feel that now. I hear all those things. You see, the enemy comes to and fro, tries to come and speak to you in vices. You begin to rebuke that, and you'll come in with a stronger mind. You'll be able to say with certainty that I will not give room to the devil. You know where Satan's seat is. Kick him out of the seat and say, I'm sitting here today, devil, and I'm claiming what is rightfully mine. Woo! We're a peculiar people. So excuse me for being a little peculiar. I know that Satan's trying to deceive the minds of the church. But we are too willing to listen to it.
Amen.
We think that it's too hard to be a Christian. Come on now. Grow up and line up to what the Word of God says. It's crystal clear. It's not that hard. And there is forgiveness if you fail sometimes. But He does expect us to walk perfect. Woo! He does expect me to get up and raise a standard in me to know better. He knows whether to talk right, walk right,
whether I know to do the things that I should be doing.
It shows on me if I'm not. It shows on me if I'm not. If I'm doing all that junk out there, it reads on me like a book. Woo! We're going to have to put off the old man. Put on something that's going to keep you warm when it gets cold outside.
You're a light of the world. The only way you're a light is if you have the life. Have that oil of life in you and the fire burning inside of you. You know what the oil is representative as in the Word of God? It's representative to the Spirit. Spirit is life. It's the Spirit that keeps the fire burning in you.
And I can't stress it enough. People think I'm just trying to make them worship or make them try to get up and do something. I'm just trying to urge you to spark the fire that's in you so that you have some life inside.
Don't worry, it's real easy for me just to spark the fire for me, and I could just be selfish and just get my blessing and go on out the door. But God's put a call on my life to help you to spark your fire. So don't get mad at me when I say, come on, press on out there.
It's just my duty. Don't shoot the messenger. Woo! Or in other words, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Come on, church. Come on, we got to quit pointing the finger in the wrong direction. If you've got a problem with what's being preached in the house of God, you better check it in prayer and not check it on the telephone with the opinions of others.
Woo! I felt that one. We're going to have to quit talking about how much we didn't like it.
And we're going to have to either line up to it, be hot or cold. Come on. I love you all. Remember, we had that talk at the start. I love you. It's all in love. It's all in love. God wants us perfected. I'm really closing with this. I would rather have a tree with two limbs that were alive, that bore fruit, with fruit that was good, then have a tree with 250 limbs, Brent, that were so dead that you could not find the two or three that had any life. And I would rather be able to have some kind of tool to cut off the limbs so that I would have the parts of me that were good. You see, the Word of God is the part of us that is the thing that cuts like a two-edged sword. It's the part of us that we have to begin, let the limbs fall off where they may, and just live with the two or three limbs that are alive. Because if we can learn to live with the two or three good things that we have and let go of all the other things, God will begin to grow in you more things that are alive. I ask and beg and pray for you to apply something of that. Take it home and read it. Because I want us to begin to understand it deeper. I don't want us walking around with dead limbs on our trees. Like, God raised us better than that. We know better. Beginning of wisdom is what? To fear. And we're going to have to begin to realize that He's a jealous God. And He will not allow us to continue with all this other stuff that we're trying to drag along the way. And to put it nicely but sharply, we've got to get rid of it, or we're going to pay the cost for carrying the extra baggage. Nobody likes paying the extra baggage cost on the airport. You carry more than just a couple bags, it's like $150 for another bag. And you're like, $150, say what? You don't want to pay that much for another one? Why in the world do we carry around more baggage and pay for the consequences and the repercussions of our sins when all that God's wanting us to do is just say, Lord, I'll let you have it tonight. God, I'll leave it to you tonight. God, I want to change so that you can improve me. This is not a process about trying to bring you down in condemnation. It's that we just recognize the parts of us that fail so that God can improve us, so that He can take us towards a success. This isn't about me telling you how wrong that you are. Because listen, if anybody was wrong in this room, it was me. And I failed all the time. But God has shown me that above everybody else, if I don't admit first off that I'm wrong, then I don't have any business standing up here with a microphone ever speaking to you. And I'm the first one to admit that I'm always wrong and that I have to be willing to let God show me through His Word. And that's why this spoke to me so much, because it gets too hard up to a point we just want to turn around and say, oh, I'm done. Open the door, I'm out of here. No more church for me, because it got too hard when God wanted me to lay some things down.
And then when we're in desperate need, here we are again. Oh Lord, save me from my situation. Well, where were you all the times when it would have been easier? Oh, I was out there living in the world because I didn't want to give up everything I wanted to give up. But now you still got to give it up, and now you've got to have a major breakthrough.
Yeah.
How much easier it would have been just to hang on.